Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday service. It's good to see everybody out with us this morning. And for those of you guys online, thank you for being with us as well. It is good to have you in the house of the Lord. I just want to say a quick prayer and then we'll get started. Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you because you are good. We thank you because you have brought us all here, Father, to worship you and to hear the word. We just ask that your spirit flow through this place. We ask that you, the teacher, come and teach your people. We ask that people see you for who you are. We ask that those things that they came in with, Father, sicknesses, anger, depression, we ask that those things leave this morning as they hear the word of God. Father, we ask that those things break, Father, not because of me, but because of you, Father. Because you said that if you be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto thee. So, Father, that is our cry this morning, that you be glorified above all. Amen. Amen. But once again, good morning, good morning. Welcome to our Sunday service. Hopefully my voice is not too bad. I woke up yesterday and felt sick. But I know this, that nothing can stop me from doing what God has called me to do. And nothing can stop me from being in church. So that's not my message. But please, don't let anything stop you from coming to the house of the Lord. You know, yes, things happen, but always, always make it a choice to press in into what God has for you. Amen? Amen. All right, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 22. This morning, the title of my message is The Cave. The Cave. The Cave. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, it reads, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. So this morning, I want to minister on the cave. What is the cave? As we see here in verse 1, it says that David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So what is the cave? So the cave is a real place. And for some, the cave is depression. For some, the cave is anxiety. For some, the cave is fear. For some, the cave is debt. For some, the cave is, I know what God has said in his word, but my life doesn't quite look like it. So we see here that David is on the run. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, David is anointed king. So how does someone who got the prophecy that he's the next king end up in a cave? See, oftentimes we don't stop and think this through, but I know that in my life, I know that God has called me to do great and mighty things. But in 2018, 3 years into marriage, I was like, this might not be what God has for me. Like, despite all that God had called me to do, me and my wife, we were in such a place where I was like, God, I don't see how this is going to work. I know you've called me, but I don't see how I'm going to get out of this cave, because all I see is this is not working. Frustration, darkness. Like, God, what am I doing here? So we see here that David, the next king of Israel, ends up in a cave. And I know that everyone here this morning is fine, because Christians don't get depressed, right? Christians don't have bad days, right? You know? So, especially us men, right? You know, we don't get sad. We just kind of just tough it out. But we see here that David, because he was running from King Saul, he ends up in a cave. So how exactly did David get in this cave? How exactly did the next king of Israel end up in a cave? So David ends up in a cave because in 1 Samuel 15, David is anointed king. In actually, it's chapter 16. David is anointed king. In 17, he kills Goliath. In chapter 18, he's loved by Saul. King Saul loves David. In verse 5 of 18 as well, he's so famous that they're singing songs about him. So David's stock is just going up, going up, going up. In verse 27, David marries the king's daughter. In verse 28, David is living in the king's house. So media team, can you show me that graphic, please? So we see here, this is the life of David. David's life is going up. Anointed king, kills Goliath, loved by Saul, becomes famous, marries Saul's daughter, and lives in a palace. It looks like everything that God had promised David was coming to pass. Everything that God said, hey, you will be this next king, was coming to pass. David was walking in the will of God, so it seems. But somewhere along the line, and you guys know this story, King Saul gets jealous of David. So what does King Saul do? King Saul then tries to kill David. So David now is on the run for his life. So David does as we do, right? So oftentimes when fear sets in and we don't know where to go, most of us usually we go to God first. So David goes to Prophet Samuel first. And the prophet is like, okay, let's pray about it. And they pray about it, and all seems well until Saul comes. Saul comes, David gets scared again, and then David now runs away. David goes to his best friend, like we all do. See, when fear sets in, when we don't know which way to turn, first we go to God, and we don't really like how fast or slow God is moving. So we say, you know what? Let me go to my best friend. So David goes to his best friend, Jonathan, and he's like, hey, why exactly is your father trying to kill me? David is trying to make physical sense of something that is spiritual. I'll say that once more. David is trying to make physical sense of something that is spiritual, because the scripture never says that Saul knew that David was the next king. So what Saul was fighting in David was the spirit that was on him. So Saul is trying to kill David, and David goes from Samuel, which can be seen as his pastor. Then he goes to his best friend. Then he goes to a priest in the land of Nob, because he says, you know what? Let me find a new pastor, because my pastor's not really saying the things that I would like to hear. Let me find someone else that can actually give me some type of wisdom or help. But if you read that passage, David actually lies to the priest at Nob. He says that Saul had sent them on a mission. So the further we run away from God, the more open we are to doing things that God doesn't want us to do. And we see here that finally, David even goes to the enemy at Gath. He backslides. David goes to the people that he once killed, and he is pretending to be mad just to save his life. So David is spiraling down. He is going down this dark path. The man that was once called to be the next king of Israel is what I would like to call depressed. He's going down. And the interesting part is this, right? On the surface, I believe that we've all been there. We've all been at that new job, with that new car, with those new things that make it seem like we have the favor of God. And we're going up, and we're going up, and we're going up. Until something happens, right? And then we begin to trend down. And we're searching for God, saying, God, where are you? This cannot be, surely this cannot be the will of God, because what you have promised me is not looking like what I'm seeing. So David is in this place where he's looking for some sort of refuge. He's trying to find something, somewhere where he can simply lay his head. And of course, David finds that one place. It's called the cave. The cave of Adullam. So David ends up in a cave after being anointed the next king of Israel in chapter 16. The young youth that had songs wrote about him and was praised and once lived in the palace is now in a cave running for his life. Now, no need to raise your hand, but I'm pretty sure most of us have been there. We've all been there in that place where what God has promised us, it doesn't quite look like it. You know what this book says about those that put their faith and trust in him. But we all have those seasons where, God, I know I'm doing the best that I can do, but it doesn't seem like it. I know I'm giving. I know I'm in church. I know I'm faithful, but it doesn't seem like it. In fact, it seems the opposite. In fact, it seems like those who aren't giving are doing better than me. We've all been there where we see friends who don't tithe and they have a new this and new that. And we're like, man, why? I'm giving, but they got the new stuff, right? So David here, his life is spiraling out of control. And this is the reality that I believe many of us have been in or are in right now. Because despite your best efforts, it seems like things are going down. Despite all that you were trying to do, it seems like nothing is fixing your issue. So my question is, what happened in the cave? What happened in the cave that turned David's life around? Because we all have different things that drive us to the cave. You know, some of it is our family, friends, jobs, whatever it is, right? We all have different trials that we go through. So our trials aren't the same. But what happened in the cave that took David from a boy that was running from King Saul to the man and the king that we know? So turn me to the book of Psalms 57. Because sometimes we read the Bible and because of how it's written, we don't truly get the nuance of what David had to really go through. So in Psalms 57, verse one reads, one second, there we go. Let me pull this up over here. All right, in Psalms 57, verse one reads, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these things have passed me by." Verse 2 says this, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. So in the cave, David stopped looking for his answers in people. He began to look for his answers in God. He says, "I will cry out to God Most High." And then let's drop down to verse 7. Verse 7 says this, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise." So where David was once running to and fro, trying to find somebody, he's now saying, "No, God, I'm going to sit still. I'm going to wait on you. My heart is going to be fixed on you. I'm not going to try to solve this by my own will, by going to my friends. No, I'm going to sit still and let you be God." And then in verse 8, he says, "Awake my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn." Now, you might not get what he's saying here, but David is saying that I will begin my day with praise. I will not be someone that wakes up and says, "Oh man, it's going to be a bad day." I will not be someone that wakes up and with my own mouth curse my own day. But I will be someone that wakes up the dawn with praise. And then in verse 9, he says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. So David is saying, when I used to be that person that people knew as that guy that would complain, now they will know me as someone who actually praises. See, sometimes we think that we are more spiritual than we are. But the truth is this, if I were to ask your best friend, your kids, your spouse, does so-and-so actually praise God? See, that would be the truth there. Do you actually praise God more than you complain? David has spent all his time in fear, going from person to person, complaining. But in the cave, he's finally coming back to his right mind. The psalmist is finding his praise once again. And oftentimes, see, when we get in this cave, when we get depressed, it's because we often lose our praise. We don't spend time with God. We don't praise him as we ought to. Even if we're in church, we can be in church and still not praise him. David is in the palace, and, you know, the scripture doesn't say this, but I believe that David was very much like us because he saw everything working out piece by piece. And he thought, well, you know what? I know how God is going to do this. I'm going to marry Saul's daughter, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. Like, David had it all planned out in his head. And oftentimes, that is you and I. We have God's plan planned out in our head until God says, nope, I'm going to do it in such a way that only I get the glory. So we see here that David is beginning to find his praise. And as he praised God in Psalms 142, this is also known as a psalm of when David was in the cave. In Psalms 142, verse 1 says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. So in the cave, David realized that everything that he thought was refuge wasn't. His job, his friends, the palace, his favor, those things aren't refuge. All those things that God has blessed us with, they're good things, but they're not refuge. Once again, all those things that you prayed for and God has blessed you with, that job, it's a great job, but it's not refuge. But it took David getting in the cave to see that. And then in verse 5, it says this, I cried out to you, O Lord, and I said, you are my refuge. See, it took David going through all that to come to his mind and say, no, God is my refuge. Not these things that I have. God is my refuge. And you know, I just wish that sometimes we didn't have to go through all that just to get to that point. You know, just skip all that heartbreak and pain and all those things that we can simply just not go through. But sometimes the best lessons are learned this way. But then David says something very, very interesting. He says, my portion, well, let me back up. He says, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Now, sometimes we read things in the Old Testament and we kind of just breeze by it, not knowing what David is saying there. So let me try to explain as best as I can. David is from the tribe of Judah. When the tribes were entering into the promised land, God gave each tribe a certain inheritance. Judah was known as the kingly tribe, right? So they were going to be the ones where the kings would come from. But the Levites, they were known as the tribe who had no land because God said, hey, my presence is your portion. So David was from Judah. He was rightfully called to be king. But in the cave, he saw that this earthly promise is not enough. I need something more. So he begins to speak like a Levite. He begins to say, no, God, the promise is not the main goal. The promise giver is the main goal. I want your presence. I want you to go with me. Now, if you're tracking with me, you start seeing what God is doing here. Because what has God called us in the New Testament? A royal priesthood. So we are meant to be like the king and the priest. And this is what we see here with David, that as he began to praise, his mind was being renewed. And he began to see that, no, the promise is not the main goal. Me being king is not what this is all about. Me being married is not the point of marriage. It's about God. Me having kids, it's not about kids. It's about God. Me having that job, that thing, it's not about that thing. It's about God. So David here, his mind is beginning to change. And David's eyes shifted from the physical promise to the spiritual promise that God had for him. And he simply says, I choose the presence of God over everything. See, sometimes we are in that cave. We are depressed because we don't have, or because we've put our hope and faith in something that God has promised us. And when we don't see it, we get sad. When we don't see it, we start praying for that thing. We start saying, God, how long? But David here is showing us that truly, once you set him as your focus, those things don't even matter. He will bless you as he sees fit, when he sees fit. So David entered that cave as a lost man, searching, trying to grab onto something. But as he praised, David was changed. And that broken man became the leader of the broken. Because once again, we might miss this, but in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, it says, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So David came in there as a broken man, thinking that he was broken. But then God called the broken to him. He became the leader of the broken. He came in by himself trying to find help. He left there with 400 men, 400 mighty men. And the man who thought that this cave surely is my end did not know that oftentimes the end is where God starts. Oftentimes when we end, when we stop trying, that's when God says, all right, now I can work with you. So this morning, you might be in a cave of some sort. You know, I don't know what your cave is. We all have different caves. And the truth is this, like David, you didn't choose to be in this cave, right? Nobody chooses to go through these things. But David found himself in the cave. But here's the thing is, you control how you respond in the cave. Will you respond in praise? Will you respond in worship? Or will you complain? Will you talk to your neighbor and your friends? And dare I say, even your pastor, who can only do so much for you? Or will you talk to the one who actually holds the stars and the moons and the sky together, someone who can actually fix that problem for you? Because we sometimes think of these caves as, well, it's just a season that happens, and once I'm done with the cave, then I'm done with it. But the truth is this, that 20 years later, David actually comes back to this cave. In 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. 20 years has gone by. And David is king. And in verse 13, it says this. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistine was then in Bethlehem. So this cave that David went to go die in actually became a stronghold for him. This cave that was meant to be the end of David's life actually became a place where he could actually operate from with his men. This cave became a place that David had actually conquered. And David and his men were back at this same cave 20 years later. But this time, the men that were with him were no more in debt. They were no more distressed. They were actually called the mighty men of David. And this is the cave that was supposed to end David. But it became a cave where he could actually operate from. So why does this matter? See, like David, Jesus also had a place that was supposed to end him. Jesus also had a cave, but his cave was called the cross. Like David, Jesus was supposed to go to this cross and die, and that just be it. But in Matthew 26, verse 30, the night before Jesus is about to be arrested and go to the cross, it says that Jesus and his disciples, they were worshiping. See, David lost his praise, but Jesus never lost his praise. Jesus went to the cross with his praise. And that place that he went to, that cross, has now become a stronghold for us. See, we win because of the cross. See, sometimes we think that we're David. We're not David. Jesus is the better David. We are the man that came to that cave in distress, in debt, in need. And David, being him, did what he did, but Jesus, he did it perfectly. And now his victory is now our victory. And we can come to that same cross every single day and get help for whatever it is that we need. Because just like Saul would have thought that surely David is going to die in this cave, if the rulers of this world would have known, they would not have crucified Jesus, because they thought that Jesus would also die on the cross in such a way that that would be the end. But they did not know that they were simply just multiplying him. Just like they did not know that they were multiplying David, because David now has what he called mighty men. And that is who we are when we evidence our faith in Christ and come to that cross daily. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved," not were saved, but are being saved right now, "it is," not "it was," "it is the power of God." Because what looks like defeat, what looks like the end, could truly just be what God wants to actually push you into as your ministry. See, I know that, man, like, you know, I know myself the best, I would think so, but I've seen that a lot of the things that I struggled with, that's what God has, like, those are the kind of men that God has actually brought next to me and be like, okay, hey, talk to him, help him out. See, God has given me victory in my own cave. And in the same way, God wants to give you victory in your own cave, because this cave is not supposed to be the end. Because he lives, I live. Because he went to the cross and dealt with the biggest cave, I can also get through my cave by evidence and faith in Jesus this morning. So the cross is where we must start our praise. See, oftentimes we think that if I just do A, B, C, D, God has to do this. But faith is not faith if it's not evidence in the right thing. So We don't just say, well, God, I'm just going to praise you. And because I'm doing all this stuff, now you have to do this. No. Where is your faith? Where is your faith latched onto? Is it latched onto your own work? Or is it latched onto the finished work of Christ on the cross? So this morning, the message is simple. We all have caves. We all have things that we go through. We all have situations that seem like this is going to be the end. But the truth about it is that if your Savior that you have put your faith in has dealt with that sin, dealt with that weight, dealt with that thing on the cross, and as the scripture says, he nailed every sin, every weight, every sickness, anything that you can think of, he nailed it to the cross. If you truly believe that, then you actually can walk out of that cave and actually own that cave and actually have life forevermore. Amen? Amen. So this morning, all heads bowed, we just want to go to the Lord and just ask him just to search our hearts, because we know where we are at. We know what cave we might be in. We know what things might be top of our mind, things that have taken us away from our praise, things that have made our praise not so loud. Father, we simply come to you this morning and we repent for just starting our day with words that don't praise you. Father, help us this morning to be a people that begin our life with praise. Help us to be a people that praise you through it all. Help us to be a people that say, the Lord is my portion. Not the promise, but the promise giver. The one who truly gives all good things. That one is my portion. Because Father, you have died for us through your Son. And you did it all just for fellowship. So help us to fellowship with you. Help us to not seek those things that can be given by man. But help us to seek what can only be given by heaven, which is you. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We ask that you truly help us to see you for who you are, Lord. Oh, Lord, if anybody came in here with any sickness, depression, any weight, anything that is weighing them down, Father, we just give it over to you right now. Not because we can do it, but because we know that you have done it. By your stripes, we are healed. So, Father, we evidence our faith on the cross and what you did. We are thankful for your finished work. Father, once again, we just thank you and we give you all the praise and glory.
You God, thank you God. No matter the cave, there is victory in the cross. No matter the cave, there is victory in the cross. We thank you for the word, God. May it go forth and just bring forth fruit in our hearts, God. And may we be increased spiritually so that we can help those around us, God. So we can help those who are in the cave around us, God, and tell them that Jesus brings victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God for the word, right? Pastor Ike is doing well. We have a few announcements to make. Remember to support the ministry. It's just for the word. And there is going to be prayer, Ignite Prayer, Friday, May 1st from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. And I know some people don't like to drive at night, and that's good. So if you can't make it, stay at home. Pray. 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. So just pray where you're at, okay? And with that being said, we're just going to thank God for you being here today and have safe travels home. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day.